Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, TV theme Thursday, live today, Bridgestone Arena, opening night in Smashville. Predators will take on the Seattle Kraken later on tonight. You can hear coverage starting at 6 o'clock, but we'll have Preds flavor throughout the day. Every Thursday at 9:30 during the hockey season, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. Always enjoy our conversations with him. Greg, what's up, my friend? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just in that weird transitionary period of having gotten around 4 hours of sleep for 2 weeks writing previews and all that nonsense, and now we're just kind of like sailing along. It's the season again. It's been fun. It's already been some interesting stuff that's happened in 2 days, and happy hockey's back.
Before we get into things going on around the league, our question of the day, and I have a feeling you could come up with one, but your favorite obscure Predators player of all time.
That's a great question. I guess, what was it, Sergei Krizakrazov?
He's gotten a lot of votes.
That's the first one that I really remember. But, I mean, like, you know, the other thing about the Predators, you know, there's been some randos, you know, that have been there through the years, too. Like the big name guys stuck there for just a cup of coffee. But yeah, Krizakrazov, and then the other one, obviously, and this is, I mean, it's not obscure, but like my favorite Predator from the old school was Stu Grimson, who's again not obscure, but
yeah.
I own one Predators jersey, and it's the old school blue one, and it's a Grimson jersey. It's the only Predators jersey I own.
That is awesome. Stu's a great guy too, so that's really cool that you have that. So let's start with this Predators team. Andrew Brunette takes over as the head coach. Barry Trotz moves into the GM role since returning to the organization. They fall to Tampa the other night, but I know that I saw some good things. Obviously, they took some penalties late in the game that didn't help them out, but it was on your network. What did you see from the Predators and this new-look team in their opener?
Yeah, I was encouraged, too. You know, they showed some spark, which is what you wanted to see from Andrew Brunette coming behind the bench and trying to do some of the things offensively that he was able to do in Florida and kind of sprinkle the magic dust that he sprinkled on the Devils when they broke out offensively last year and he was their associate head coach. But again, like you said, I mean, it comes down to discipline sometimes and not giving the most talented players on the opposite side opportunities on special teams, and lesson learned there. You know, the Lightning were interesting too. I actually have them missing the playoffs this year. I made that pick before Vasilevsky got hurt. You know, the supporting cast, the number of players that they've lost through the years, I just think it catches up to you at some point. But that being said, the thing that was kind of the counter argument was they still got those guys. and as the Predators saw on opening night, man, you know, Kucherov makes a play or Point makes a play. You just can't count out those Tampa Bay Lightnings quite yet.
Hey, this is Joe. I'm joining Chase now for on. Let me ask your opinion on Philip Forsberg. Around the league, does he still strike fear in people? I mean, last year wasn't the best year, but your thoughts on Forsberg heading into this season?
Well, he's a terrific player. I mean, you know, and obviously elite facial hair. But you know, has he ever – I guess the question I have is, has he ever struck fear in the hearts of teams around the league? I mean, I think he's always been a player that – can produce, can play well. There are some years in which he puts up numbers that could be considered elite and still is a top performer. But as far as the guy that you have to kind of like game plan around, I'm not sure if he's ever been on that level. But obviously a consistent top line player and a hugely important player this season if Brunette is going to have this team churning offensively.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. And so he's playing on a line with Ryan O'Reilly that they signed in the offseason. O'Reilly buries his first goal of the year in the loss to Tampa Bay. That was a signing that I don't think anybody really saw coming, but also piqued some interest around here and maybe around the league as well. At this point in his career, you know, he's won a cup. What do you think O'Reilly has left in the tank and can bring to a team that's trying to build a young core?
Well, like you said, it was a surprise not only that he got some term out of somebody, it looked like he was going to be entering his – you know, roving samurai phase of his career, going from team to team, trying to chase another cup, maybe. But also being cast as a top line center, and You know, I think it's a really solid move in the sense that he's a leader, he's a character guy. He brings a championship pedigree to a team that is absent a lot of guys with rings right now, outside of a couple exceptions. And you know, still a very productive player. I mean, obviously when Toronto acquired him, they didn't need him to be a top-line center. They just needed to kind of be a veteran depth guy behind what they had there with Tavares and Matthews. But I think he can serve that role pretty well. And above all else, I mean, he's one of those guys that just is a win-at-all-cost type player, legendary defensively, great on face-offs, and I think is going to bring a good, solid 200-foot game to this team.
Well, Greg, let me ask you this. What with Barry Trotz being the GM, what do you think – I mean, is it take a while to get his pieces here? Is it going to be – are they here now? What's the process you think that Barry Trotz wants to put his perfect team on the ice here?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, because whenever a new GM comes in, you're not quite sure when the evaluation period begins or ends, as far as his feelings on the roster. It could be, let's play out this season, see where we are, and adjust accordingly in the offseason. Or it could be that he looks at this team and gets a little bit more aggressive at the trade deadline, for example, if he thinks that they're close to being a playoff team. I actually have Nashville in the playoffs this year. Like, I think that Brunette's a terrific coach, and I think he's going to find ways to squeeze offense out of this forward group that, you know, on paper I think is not necessarily among the elite teams offensively. But he's a great players coach. He kind of gets everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. And you put that on top of UC Saros and Kevin Lankinen, who I think are maybe a top three goalie tandem in this league. I thought that was going to be enough for them to get over the hump in the Central Division, with some teams in the conference maybe taking a little bit of a step back to open the door for them.
Hey, how does that work? You know, you've covered this league for a long time. When a great head coach becomes a GM, I mean, is he just like, all right, I delegate? He's got Andrew Bernetta for a reason, because he likes him. But is it best he kind of stays away? Or how does this dynamic work perfectly for a former head coach that's now a GM?
I mean, I think it really depends on what the relationship between the GM and the coach is. And obviously Brunette and Trotz have a relationship back from Brunette's playing days. And that's got to be beneficial. I mean, I think that probably means a more open door policy than it would be otherwise, with the former coach being a GM and the current coach behind the bench. So, I mean, for the most part, it's there is a bit of separation of church and state when it comes to an executive and the coach in the NHL. And you know, Barry's going to be busy. Like, if Barry wanted to be behind the bench, he'd be behind the bench. I think he wants to be in the next phase of his career. He's got a lot of learning to do as an executive. He's got to surround himself with the right people. He's got to make some good relationships in front offices. And then on top of that, you know, kind of really understand from a player evaluation standpoint what he's looking for insofar as, you know, who should stay, who should go, and what pieces this team needs.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So Connor Bedard, game number two, finally breaks through, scores his first goal, had a point in his first game. And I know he said it was nice to get that moment out of the way, but probably going to be the first of many. What did you think about the first two games of the first overall pick?
I mean, he's great. He's really good. It makes me very angry that the Blackhawks are going to be really good for a very long time once again. He's the real deal. I mean, you watch this kid play, and all of the reports that we had gotten about the quality of his shot, you know, the accuracy of it, the strength behind it, his ability to get it off and a number of different ways, almost kind of like a Brett Hull type player in that regard. That's all been proven true in the first two games. He's been able to get shots on goal and get quality chances. The two things about Bedard that I have surprised me in talking to him a few times in the offseason and now watching him in the NHL. First is that you think of a kid that young, you think of somebody who's a bit wiry, you know, and like going to get pushed around and stuff. And he's actually kind of built a little bit thicker than you'd think for a kid his age. That plays center, and I think because of that, he's going to be able to handle the NHL grind a little bit easier. And then the other thing too is, and especially in that first game against Pittsburgh, like, he plays defense, and that's kind of a shock. I remember talking to Matt Duchene about that once when Duchene came up as a rookie, and he told me, look, you know, part of it is you're trying to figure out what offensive tricks you used in like junior hockey and the minor leagues that you can use in the NHL. But part of it is also understanding that your responsibility as a center defensively is exponentially harder than what it was at other levels. And so to see Bedard positionally play well, to see him back check, to see him, you know, active in the defensive zone, it was a real surprise, because I think he's been sold a little bit more offensively than as a complete player. So that portends good things, I think, for him going forward.
And real quick, I mean, are the Oilers going to shut it down after losing 8-1 last night? Besser with four goals for Vancouver?
Well, who knew they had another preseason game in them last night? Look, they're my cup pick. They'll be fine. Me and Connor and Leon will all have a laugh about this in June when they're passing around the cup in the locker room. But yeah, kind of an embarrassing stumble out of the gate for the Oilers last night to not only just mud-thumped by the Canucks, who I think are going to be really good. Again, like, the Canucks and Predators are my wild card teams in the West. Yeah. I think the Flames and the Kraken and Winnipeg and a few others aren't going to answer the bell in the way that people think they are.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're going to enjoy these conversations every week, and you know, maybe we'll come up with some more obscure hockey players that we can bring up on the show. Appreciate it.
Always appreciate it. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us here on the show. He'll do that every Thursday at 9:30 on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're presented by Regal Realty Group. And coming up next, we'll get into the Titans a little bit. They practiced yesterday. We'll practice today. They had the Oilers lids on yesterday, I believe.
Hold on. But before, do we have a – hockey players all have nicknames. You have a nickname for Greg Wyshynski?
Wish.
Wish. Is that his nickname?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Or like the Shin?
No.
Okay.
No, Wish.
Wish. All right.
You'd probably be JoJo.
No, pass.
Dubes? Doobie?
Maybe.
Doobie. You're Doobie.
Oh,
that's
great.
What you are. That's perfect for you. We'll get into the Titans next. 615-737-1025. If you want to keep the question of the day going, favorite obscure Predators player of all time in honor of opening night, it's Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game.